Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text is Luke, the first chapter, beginning in the 26th verse. And I read it again. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Have you ever tried to imagine what it was like in Eden to walk with God in the cool of the day? It must have been so sweet. It is, of course, what God had in mind all along. In the book of Revelation, we read, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain any more, for the former things have passed away.'" It's like bookends, what we were created for and what we are destined for. It's just this mess in between. Adam made what many of our contemporaries might call a bad choice. Well, it was a bad choice, one bad enough to have a special name. We call it sin. It would have been bad enough if it were only him, but it wasn't. Sin is like a plague, a congenital one. You were born with it, I was born with it, and it's fatal. And there's nothing anyone could do about it. God had chosen a people, the descendants of Abraham. He had given them his law. He had given them a land of their own, a land of milk and honey. And God gave them a lot of chances to follow that law he had given, to get it right. He was abundantly merciful to them, but they kept turning back to the behavior of their father Adam. And we can understand that turning back to the behavior of Adam, because we have all done it. How often have we failed to love our neighbor and then tried to figure out how to hide our bad choice from God? Or maybe we just tried to convince God, or maybe it was just ourselves, that what we did wasn't that bad, except it was. It was bad enough that we deserved death. We can't hide anything from God, and there's nothing that we can do to please him. None is righteous, no, not one, not in God's eyes. There was nothing that anyone could do about it. Not until one quiet day in Nazareth, when an angel appeared to a young woman named Mary and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." You see, God loved the world so much that he gave his only son to solve the problem of our sin. Did you notice the verb? He gave his only son. He didn't say sin. He said gave. And first he gave them to a young virgin, whose only qualification was faith. She was told something unbelievable by an unimaginable being, the like of which she had never seen or imagined. Her response was a simple one. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Since that fateful day in the Garden of Eden, God has been with his people at a distance. At a time with only his interactions with a man, for example, Adam or Joseph. Then, when the time was right with the whole people, he led his children on their exodus out of Egypt with mighty deeds, deeds that they were to tell their children. During that trip, he formalized his presence with them, first in the tent of the tabernacle and finally in the temple in Jerusalem. But there is something different happening here. God was taking on the form of a man. God was no longer at a distance. He had become one of us. For 9 months, God's presence with his people was in the womb of a virgin. Mary received God's presence by her faith. I suppose you could call her the very first Christian, for this is the same thing with us. We hear God's word, and faith takes root in us. Roman Catholics hold that Mary was born without original sin, that she would have to have been pure already to receive Jesus in her body. Can you see the flaw in that? If that were true for us, it would have to be true for all of us as well. And we both know that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we also have the sure word that it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. By that faith, we understand our own weakness and tendency towards sin. By that faith, we also understand that the Father loves us far beyond our comprehension. By that faith, we know our sins are forgiven. Not by anything that we have done, but by the work Jesus did on the cross. In his death, our sins are forgiven. In his resurrection, we have a new life hidden in him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.
Amen.